Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
For this next segment, we're going to take a little walk. A gallery walk around the Tufts University Art Gallery, where there's an outstanding new show of women pop artists. Wait, women pop artists, I hear you say?
Warhol, Lichtenstein, Oldenburg, Tom Musselman are not the... not necessarily the most interesting or the only pop artists.
Amy Schlegel, gallery art director, gives me a knowing look when I say, but those men, they are the ones everyone's heard of, the ones who got all the attention and made all the money and still are, as in the case of Warhol, whose portrait of Elizabeth Taylor is expected to fetch $30 million at auction next month. But after seeing the Tufts exhibit, you're going to hope that changes, because the show features dozens of works by women artists who were as skillful as the men, women who were fearless, women who were edgy.
Women who were both seductive and subversive in their art practice.
Hence the title of the exhibition, Seductive Subversion, Women Pop Artists, 1958 to 1968. Keep the title and those dates in mind, because we'll come back to them in a bit as Schlegel walks us through the work of three particular artists, Marjorie Strider, Pauline Bodie, and Idell Weber. But we'll start where the exhibition itself starts.
I see that up on the gallery wall here you have a quotation from John Berger, Ways of Seeing, 1972, men look at women watch themselves being looked at.
Mm-hmm. Reason you, this is on the wall, we'd like to suggest that looking at representations of women is very sort of coded in the way that women's bodies are presented as fully available for the male gaze to consume them.
And right across the gallery space, speaking of the female form, who's this and what are we looking at?
This is a triptych by Marjorie Strider, an American artist who is alive and well. And this is a very representative work by her of really a pinup form.
It's the classic form that everyone knows from magazines of the woman in a bikini, a very sort of 50s or 60s style bikini. And she's got her hand sort of up by her ear. She's seated on her knees. But the outstanding feature is it's a flat piece of art except for the breasts.
Absolutely. It's very, very flatly painted with this heavy cartoonish outline, and yet these rather fulsome breasts literally jut out off the surface. This is a shaped canvas that Marjorie Strider was absolutely an innovator on in the 60s. And yet it's also very satirical at the same time. Of course, the part of the body that's emphasized is the breast, and in other works by her, it's also the buttocks that she has shaped and protruding off the flat surface of the canvas.
Do you get the feeling that she's saying here, like, to men, we know that when you're standing in front of us, this is what you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because the breasts are the three-dimensional part of the canvas that stick out, of course your eyes are drawn there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes me feel like she's telling men, we know.
There is this sly awareness that, yes, we understand that we're sexualized and objectified.
What year was this?
This is, I believe, 1965.
And 1965, it appeared
in an exhibition called the International Girly Show at a commercial gallery in New York City, and she was the only woman artist in this exhibition. It was quite a sensation. It was her debut to the New York art world, and it was very, very well received.
Oh, it was,
at the time.
But that makes her kind of the exception, then.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I went on, and I had many shows at many different galleries.
Marjorie Strider is still alive and still gutsy. But in a companion film to Seductive Subversion, you can hear her chafe, albeit gracefully, against a basic truth of the 1960s.
I always thought I'd be really famous, you know, like Lichtenstein or something. That's why I never had children. I knew I couldn't do both and do both well. so.
The whole history of the women's movement is in that trailing so. Amy Schlegel says that's one of the reasons why the Tufts Art Gallery wanted to host this exhibition.
These are the kind of sacrifices and the choices that women like Marjorie Strider made at the time. And it was always a struggle for them.
I just find it so ironic because, for example, in the case of Warhol, so much of the reason why he still has that cachet has to do mm-hmm. with women. I mean, those images, those prints of Marilyn Monroe. It just seems so ironic to me that mm-hmm. at the same time there are all these women artists in pop art who were so active that just weren't really getting that much attention.
Yeah. Well, that's a great segue to this painting by Pauline Boddie talking about the use of celebrity images. She used this publicity photo of Jean-Paul Belmondo a year after the Jean-Luc Godard film Breathless came out in mm-hmm. 1961. I mean, Belmondo was the hottest, you know, film star in Europe at this time. In a way, this painting, which is called With Love to Jean-Paul Belmondo, was an homage not just to him, but to the film itself. But it's also this really radical expression of her own sexual desire for this movie star. And she's created this enormous red rose that, you know, quite frankly, looks like this enormous labia, kind of almost enveloping him. It's on top of the white straw hat. It looks like it's about to engulf him. And she is on record as saying something nearly pornographic about Belmondo, about her desire for Belmondo.
Well, we can't play that on the radio, but Boddie is a little tamer in this archival tape from the BBC.
I think that having any hero or heroine is like building an extension onto your own personality.
The problem was, of course, that the art world wasn't terribly interested in the personalities of these women. Even in the case of Pauline Boddie, who was well known in the British pop art scene at the time, when she died tragically of cancer in 1966, she was just 28 years old, and her art was quickly forgotten.
Many of the works went to family members dispersed around the English countryside, ended up in not great circumstances, and were very, very difficult to locate.
I'd love to talk about this painting.
Idell Weber.
Yeah, because it's just so striking.
So Idell Weber has now been called brilliant, retrospectively, for these black and white and, in this case, yellow paintings with silhouetted male figures in business suits, very typical of her work of this time.
It's just so visually striking because it has these huge diagonals of black paint because they're all mm-hmm. silhouettes of, I guess it's escalators going up and down, just that cut across the canvases. I
mean, maybe so as you'll notice, they're only men, obviously.
I was going to ask you about that. There are no women in this painting.
No, these paintings by Idell Weber were really based on her visits to her husband's law firm in Midtown, the building in which he worked. And she would just be in the lobby observing. She has kind of drained out any individuality that these male figures might have.
So if women artists like Strider and Boddie represent the seductive part of the seductive subversion exhibition, the part where women in the 60s were telling men, we know this is how you see us, Weber represents the subversion. Women telling men, well, this is how we see you, as nothing but flat, faceless, corporate silhouettes.
Because she's called the Little Munchkins, she's looking in at that kind of professional life that was really a male domain and not liking it too much.
Mm-hmm. Not that it would have been easy to break into that world even if Weber had wanted to. That's what makes seductive subversion so interesting. It features art from 1958 to 1968. Betty Friedan's seminal work, The Feminine Mystique, had been published in 1963, but it wasn't until 1968 that the women's movement really took off. However, let's not pat ourselves on the back just yet, because here we are. It's 2011. It's taken a long time, more than 40 years, for these women artists to get their belated, justly deserved due.
You're absolutely right that there is a sense of coming full circle that certain things can be articulated now or seen more clearly now than 40 years ago, even though this work has been around that long.
I just feel like I have to ask this bluntly. How much of the reason why we haven't seen a show like this before just has to do flat out with, you know, the sexism of the 50s and 60s, that no matter how good the art was, these women just were not going to get this kind of attention?
100%. There were certain ways, you know, you could speak and not speak and be heard. And the case of Pauline Boddy and her kind of lust for Jean-Paul Belmondo, I mean, that was a message that no one wanted to hear at the time. A woman being so daring and so forthright in the expression of her own sexual desire. Now we can think, wow, she was an incredible woman.
Well, thank you so much for giving me this tour. It's a marvelous show, and I encourage as many people who can to come look at it. It's a singular experience.
Thank you.
Amy Schlegel is the director of the Tufts University Art Gallery. The Seductive Subversion Show runs through April 3rd. There's more information and images of some of the works we talked about here all at our website, radioboston.org.
WBUR has made a commitment to keep you informed about what's going on in the local world of arts and culture. We need your support to continue programs like Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Here are Only a Game producers Karen Given and Doug Tribou, along with All Things Considered hosts Sasha Pfeiffer, to tell you how you can help.